Welcome to Unhinged with your host, Teresa Romer, motivational speaker, fashion expert, and fashion guru.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Unhinged with Teresa Romer. We have an amazing guest today. Her name is Sylvia from the Trendy Wreath House.
Hey.
That's a fun name, the Trendy Wreath House.
The Trendy Wreath House.
So it's all about wreaths?
Wreaths and home decor and embellishments and just seasonal home decor, because I love doing that.
But how did you come up with the name Trendy Wreath House?
Well, I actually wanted the Trendy Wreath Shop, but at the time when I was, you know, Googling names and seeing what I could use and what I couldn't, the wreath shop was used. And I was like, you know what? My house has always been trendy, and I wanted something that represented what I love to do.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know what? Let's do the Trendy Wreath, and it's in my house. So that's how I came up with the name, and, you know, started it in 2017, and ever since then, you know, it works.
Well, so you started in 2017.
I did.
So you had to get through COVID and everything.
Yes, it was quite the challenge, that's for sure. But I was working full time. Like, this was only a part-time gig. It was just more of a hobby.
Right.
I started it as a hobby, you know, on weekends when I wasn't working at the bank, because my background is banking and management.
Okay.
And I needed an outlet, raising two teenagers, being a single mom, doing everything on my own. I just needed, you know, like a break, an outlet, you know, when I wasn't at work, just a way to relax and cope with, you know, daily life and all that. And, you know, wreathing and floral arranging, that was my getaway. And it saved me. And I loved doing it.
Isn't it fun when you can find something you're passionate about that you kind of feel like is almost like a hobby, and
yes,
you can turn it into a moneymaker?
Yes, but at the time, I didn't think I could turn it into a moneymaker, right?
Right.
But you're not thinking like that when you start.
Right, but it's funny, because when you can find something that just you enjoy and it relaxes you and it de-stresses you.
Yes.
You're actually very passionate about it, because it's a positive thing for you.
Yeah, you feel good. You're in your vibe and doing your thing. And
but it never dawns on you, oh, I can actually make money doing this? Like, I can, because I can remember years ago.
Yes.
And I'm going way back. Something that I found was just so enjoyable and relaxing, which was teaching aerobics and teaching people how to be healthy.
Yeah.
I was just doing it as a pastime, kind of like, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
I need to get away an hour a day to talk to adults.
You need that outlet.
Because talking to children all day is just like, ugh.
Right?
Goo goo ga ga.
That's true.
So to go teach aerobics, and I never ever dreamed it was going to take me down the path of making money and it becoming who I was to this day. Yeah. And so, funny thing is, you found something that was so relaxing, so enjoyable.
I did. And I still love doing it.
Right, right.
So it's good.
And so were you doing it full-time during COVID?
No, still part-time, because I was still at the bank.
During COVID, the bank...
We did. We still had to go to work.
So you were a necessity.
So, you know, I was sent with a letter. If I got pulled over by officers, you know, like, yes, you know, I'm a worker. I have to be on the roads driving to work. And then, you know, I would get to work and it would be like, you know, at the bank, 9 to 5. And it'd be like, okay, I want to get home because I have designs or I have a few custom orders here and there. And yeah, I mean, COVID was a very interesting period. I mean, at the time I was in Canada, and for us Canadians, the world shut down.
It did shut down.
For us, Canadians, it was very strict.
Yeah, I mean, like, and there were parts of the U.S. that were that way.
Which we were following up on the news.
But Texas, we were like, we're wide open.
We're like, woohoo! And I was like, you know what? We got to get down to Texas. So, yeah. But in Canada, everything was like, you know, shut down. And I remember at one point I needed to order ink for my printer to ship my orders, and Amazon, everything was out of ink because the world was shutting down. You couldn't even order. And as soon as COVID lifted,
a shortage.
I ordered a box, cases of ink, of glue sticks, of like everything I could think of, because I was like, this ain't happening to me again.
Yep.
If something happens,
yep,
I'm good for 2 years.
I remember, you know, I think what's funny, though, is there's going to come a day when we have to explain to the younger generations.
Yes.
That didn't really live through that.
No.
What we went through. And they're going to probably look at us like, what? The world shut down? What? Yeah,
kind of like the way we looked at our grandparents, you know, living through the wars and all that, and being like, what, really? Like, those are your stories? We'll have stories.
And isn't that true? I mean, like, I can remember listening to some of my grandparents' stories, and I would think, that is so far-fetched.
Right? I know.
Like, I can't.
It's hard to make the connection.
You can't even make this up, can you?
No.
But, I mean, like, for us, because I don't think any of our ancestors had to deal with the world shutting down.
No, definitely not like this.
It was not just a country. It was the world.
The world shut down.
The entire world.
It was
world.
Scary.
Yeah.
There was a lot of uncertainty and, you know, with work and health, you know, I mean, that was such a factor. And it was just kind of trying to navigate, you know, with who was working and then coming home. And then, you know, by Friday, like, my brain was ready to explode. And I was like, I need to, you know, keep busy and just in my own little, you know, la la land, because even like, you know, I couldn't see my mom as often as I wanted to, because you couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And we were all worried, you know, our neighbor's going to, like, you know, ratting us out or say right? So you became paranoid, right? So I was like, I'm just staying in the garage, which I converted to the shop, and that's where, you know, I was making things happen.
Yeah. So now we're going to fast forward, because you were in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to come to the United States of America?
Well, I soon noticed that once I opened my Etsy shop, where it's a platform where anybody who makes handmade goods can sell and everyone can find you there. It's a built-in platform. It's a wonderful platform. And I started noticing that all my orders were shipping to the U.S. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was going to be branding and growing the Canadian market,
mm-hmm.
when in actuality, my story was shifting and it was U.S.
Isn't that amazing?
And I thought, wow, because I thought, you know, us Canadians, we do like bougie too, right? But we all know that in Texas, everything is go big or go home. So I started noticing that all my orders were, you know, I was shipping to Texas, to all the southern states.
Right.
And then New York and Cali and everything in between. And I was like, like, now I'm thinking, how do I get there? Because that's where, like, you know, if I order supplies... supplies are coming from the U.S., coming to Canada, but I'm paying an exchange in the dollar, extra shipping fees.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Canadians get really slammed with all of those extra costs.
Oh, and so, I noticed when I have to ship.
See? Yeah, so you can relate to that, too.
When
it's
I have
crazy.
To ship to Canada?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I lose money.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's like, I'll see an order come in from Canada.
You cringe.
And I'm like, oh, Lord.
Right?
I didn't make any money on this sale.
Yes.
Because...
yes.
And I have tried every route in the world, and it's just expensive.
I just shipped to Canada, and it cost $300, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I mean, it's a...
You're like, I didn't make any money on that order.
But what do you do, right? Yeah. Customer service, you want to make everyone happy, and, you know, you absorb the cost the cost and take the hit.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen every day. It's hit and miss, but, you know, it's just part of operating a business, you know?
Yep.
So you just do what you got to
do. And Australia. Australia kills me every time, too.
Yeah, I don't ship to Australia.
Yeah,
I'm nervous.
I know.
You know, but even to Europe, it's costly,
parts,
too, right?
Yeah,
it just hit and miss. It depends.
Yeah, it's hit and miss. It's
Ooh,
hit and
yikes.
Miss. So what year did you decide to come to the United States?
So we're in 25. I arrived here in October of 23. So I arrived in 23, and it was a bit of a process. I actually... worked with an immigration officer, and I received my E-1 visa. So I applied to come here legally.
So let's make that clear.
Yes.
There's a right way to come to the United States.
Correct.
As in any country.
Anywhere, right?
Any country.
Yes. Yes.
And then there's a wrong way.
Correct.
So the right way took how long?
It was from the beginning to the end. It took about 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah. It was an 8-month
But you were
process.
Allowed to have your paperwork and be processed and come and live here legally.
Yes, and I can guarantee you that if I, you know, did it myself, I would have been denied. So I would always advise everybody, get an immigration lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, and just
follow
the proper...
Because there's probably loopholes that we don't even know about.
Right, and there's protocol and process that you need to be in compliance with. And if you don't complete it, you know, you're going to have a major hiccup. So
right.
I didn't want that.
So... Because, I mean, when you go to the nail salon.
Yes.
And the Vietnamese women are taking care of you.
Yes.
You know, they've always explained to me how long it takes for them to get their families over here and so on and so forth. But it's a legal process and it works.
Yes, it does. It does. And I advise everybody, follow the process.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So you landed in Texas.
I landed in Texas. I knew I wanted to be in the Houston area because that's where all the suppliers are and vendors, and you know, have great friends here in the Houston area. So it just made sense for me to kind of make this my home base.
So we figure Houston's probably a home base for supplies because we have a port.
Mm-hmm.
So does California.
Mm-hmm.
So does
everyone's leaving Cali to so come to Texas.
No, but so, you know, so many people always choose New York or California because, you know, those are the states everybody wants to be in, supposedly.
Yes.
You know, but so it's ironic that you chose Houston.
And I like the heat. Canada, it's too cold. Maybe it's cold outside. Like, too cold there. I like the heat where I can be in, you know, sandals and shorts and just, you know,
group. But you were born and raised Canadian.
I was.
But you like
the heat. I wasn't born in Canada, but I was raised in Canada.
But you like the heat.
I love the heat.
Because most Canadians don't like the heat.
You know what? When I was young, I could totally, you know, do snow angels, do all that stuff. As you get older, yeah, you don't do the snow and the cold. My bones don't like it. No, I like the heat.
Yeah.
So the climate's great here for the most part, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I look at the summers as most people look at the winters up north, you know?
Yes.
Our 2 or 3 months of severe heat is no different than the 2 or 3 months of severe cold.
Correct.
Up north.
Just
during the winter times.
Yeah. And I like that. That's a great way of looking at it.
No, I really do look at it that way because people are like, how do you stand the heat? And I'm like, how do you stand the cold for 2 or 3 months?
Well, we do have heat in Canada and we do have AC here, so it works, right?
So let's go. Okay, so you land in Houston in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
You hit the ground running.
Yeah, I just, you know, I landed, I got settled in my home, and I remember I got everything unpacked, ready to go within a week as I was running my private group at the time through Facebook. It was a paid subscription group, and I made sure that I had all my tutorials ready to go, moved in, got everything set up, and right away was planning a Christmas party. I wanted everybody over, you know, to see, you know, my space and everything, so it was a really nice, you know, transition. Met some awesome great people. And then the time went on, and then my daughter, she comes to visit from Canada back and forth, and we're actually in the works working on her visa as we speak right now, so fingers crossed. And just started, you know, continuing doing custom orders and focusing on growing my business, you know.
So at what point, you said in 2020 you were still at the bank.
In 2020?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so what year did you finally transition and be able to go, hey, I think I'm making enough money now with my wreath business that I can quit the bank?
23. So it was crazy because I had to go to Toronto to the embassy, to the consulate for my interview, and it's that make it or break it moment. Like, they know whether you're getting it or not.
Yes.
So, you know, my heart was in my throat, and then I just went up there and she looked at the papers. She asked me 2-3 generic questions.
And you're still at the bank.
And I'm still at the bank.
Okay.
And she said, you've been approved. You got your visa for the USA. I started crying.
Well, of course.
I started crying. I was like, oh my goodness. And my daughter went with me. And where we're from, we're just over two hours north from Toronto. So, you know, we drove there early morning, got the approval. And then I had like this weight just lifted. And I said, we're going to the bank. I'm giving my notice.
That day.
I did it that day. I've never done anything like that. I mean, you know what? I've done some crazy things.
And that was your safety net. That was your safety net.
Sure it was. Yeah. I mean, you know, like the pay was good. The benefits were phenomenal.
Right.
Like everything, you know, I was doing it for years, was in my groove, had my schedule, my routine. And then, you know, this moment when I got approved, I was like, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm taking this leap of faith. And I'm a true believer. If you don't take chances, I don't want to look back at my life and wonder why I didn't take that chance, right?
Yep.
And I think, you know what? You have nothing to lose. If it doesn't work, you pivot. You do something else. Everything happens for a reason.
I'm sure there's a bank in the United States you can work for. Right?
The Bank of America?
I'm just saying, you had that background.
Right, yeah.
If you moved to the United States and you were
going to succeed,
you were like, hey, I got banking to fall back on.
Right?
I'm sure there's a bank in the
United
States.
Maybe I'll teach them all how to do a wreath. There, oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah, so you never know. But
right.
you have to give yourself that opportunity,
right.
I think. And
right.
you have to be driven and motivate yourself and be positive.
And you didn't look back.
No.
You said,
no. Never.
I'm loading up the car.
We're flying.
That's the whole thing I love about entrepreneurial people is because they're not afraid to take a risk. They're just like, you know what? Hey, if it doesn't work out, I'll try something else.
You can't give up on yourself.
No.
And I think you have to motivate yourself, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do it for you.
Right.
You have to do it, and you have to want it. You have to be, like with anything, I think, as you very well know, you have to be passionate about what you do, right?
Yeah.
You have to believe in yourself, in your product, in your brand, whatever it is you're doing, because if you're not, why should anybody else then, you know?
But you're a prime example of the fear of the unknown didn't stop you.
I still don't know.
But you had never been to the United States.
I have. I lived in Florida many years ago.
Okay.
Just for about a year or so. Did a year of high school there. We're talking, I'm aging myself, dating myself. Back in the day, you know, my dad, you know, took us all, you know, because of his work and all that. But then we ended up going back to Canada. But I always loved the U.S.
But as a grown adult,
mm-hmm.
you had never really...
No.
Been to the United States, lived in the United States.
No.
You didn't know.
Because my kids were in school.
You didn't know the ins
and the outs.
I'm like,
no.
So you literally get granted your visa.
Mm-hmm.
You give your resignation.
Yes.
You load up the car.
Yes.
And you're like,
see ya. Peace out.
You didn't let the fear of the unknown stop you.
No. And I think if you do that, you cripple yourself. You'll be stuck.
Yeah, you
get paralyzed.
You just freeze.
Because then you think of all these scenarios and you can't.
I mean,
and usually your fears, what you're afraid of, it never really transpires anyways, right? I think it's just noise that we...
It's the fear is what you make up in your own head.
Yes.
Like it really
and I've done that for years.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, I thought, no, not this time. This time, you know, just go and do it.
Right. So your children still live in Canada?
Yes. My son is in Canada. He's in the Windsor area. And my daughter, she's in the Collingwood, Wasega Beach area with my mom.
And he has no intentions of coming down?
My son doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
and
like,
he's fine.
Okay.
I'm like,
that's
cool. I'm just going to get on an airplane and come see you every once in a
while. Right. That's
right.
It. Yeah.
Right. But the daughter,
okay,
she's like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. She's like, hey, howdy. She's ready. And I need her here. I need her to, you know, like, yeah, she's great. Like, she does all the admin stuff, all the background stuff. And, you know, you need that support.
Right.
You know, so it works. It's a win-win situation.
So she's single?
She is. But she wants to mingle. Yeah, she's single.
And how old is she?
She's 28.
Okay.
Yeah, she's 28.
She's a good age.
Yeah, she's 28.
Never been married?
No, never been married. And, you know, I just, you know, I give her that motherly advice, you know, the way we all do. And, you know, you just, you know, you instill values in your kids. And you know what? They come out okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And the son's married or not married?
No, he's not. He's 24.
So
he's just doing his thing. And
so no grandkids.
No grandkids. I want grandbabies, but, you know. I think grandbabies would be nice. But I guess, you know, I have to wait for them.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It's all good.
So what's on the horizon? What's on the horizon for Sylvia? What's on the horizon for your amazing wreath business?
Well, right now, I've been doing multiple different various workshops, seasonal workshops. Mm-hmm. And they started last fall, last September of 2024. And I've been collaborating and doing them with Dina with Wild About Wreaths. She's my partner in crime, and she's another designer that, you know, does amazing work.
Yeah.
And we thought, let's do a workshop together for Halloween. So, you know, it was our first workshop in person. We didn't know what to expect. We did really well with it. And then we thought, oh, this is wonderful. We had a great time teaching, you know, the ladies. And some of the ladies that came, they never did anything like this before, so it was new to them. And, you know, they made a girls' weekend out of it, so it was really great. But then what happened after, which totally unexpected, we had people starting to reach out to us and saying, are you guys going to do a Christmas one? You need to do a Christmas one. And we were like, we started talking. We're like, you know, you want to do Christmas? Yeah, I love Christmas. Do you want to do Christmas? So then we started, you know, putting together a Christmas workshop. And we had it, we held it here at the Hyatt Hotel here in the Woodlands.
Mm-hmm.
And it did great as well. Mm-hmm. We sold virtual tickets, in-person tickets, you know, make and takes for both days, you know, provided lunch, swag bags, did all the fun stuff. We, you know, even did a Q&A. And it was a lot of fun. And we're like, you know what? We're having fun doing this.
Right.
So then we did a New Year's one. And then we did a Valentine's winter workshop. And we just finished our Mardi Gras St. Patty's one. And we just announced yesterday on Facebook, we're doing Easter.
Easter.
We're doing Easter. Easter. So we're hopping right into Easter.
Well,
so.
And you know, there's literally almost, I believe, a holiday every month.
There is.
Because after
That's
Easter,
beautiful.
After Easter is Mother's Day.
Yes. There's always something going.
Father's Day.
Right? Yes.
4th of July. Back to school.
You always have something to celebrate, right? I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Right, and I think that's why the floral business is such a huge business, is because they really thrive on holidays.
Yes, correct.
And it's every month.
Yes, yes.
And if there's not a holiday, you make one up.
Absolutely, you do.
Like Best Friends Month or whatever.
Yes.
So, if anybody's looking for you, where can they find you? Like websites, Instagram, Facebook, where is everybody going to be able to find you?
So, we do have an Etsy shop, the Trendy Wreath House. We are on Etsy, also Facebook. They could follow our page, the Trendy Wreath House, on Facebook. And we do have our link there that's linked to our Etsy shop. And we are also on Instagram. And I know that there's so many different platforms, so we're just, you know, working through the platforms one at a time, and we'll see what happens. But Instagram, Facebook, Etsy. Yes.
Do you have a website at all?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay,
not yet.
So just basically Facebook, Instagram, and Etsy, right?
Yes.
Yes. And if you need to, you can always reach out to me, and I can put you in contact with her.
Woohoo!
Well, thank you so much, Sylvia, for joining us and telling
us. Thank you for having me.
Your amazing story. I find it amazing when people immigrate. I call it immigration.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Immigrate to the United States, because it's like there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And
absolutely.
I love the way that people do it the right way. And
yes. Well, I feel very privileged to be here first.
It is a privilege.
I think it's a privilege.
You know, and I feel like if I wanted to go live in Italy or somewhere, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And I think peace of mind doing it the right way.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Total peace of mind. You're not like looking behind or like, oh, no. Right?
So once again, guys, thank you for joining us here at Unhinged with Teresa Romer. And until next time, bye-bye.